So when you came in this morning, you sat on something, unless you moved it. You're going to need that. And for those of you who are note takers, you probably already got it there, and you're going to take your notes, which is awesome. But you're going to need that piece of paper a little later on. So I'm just warning you, you need that. You're going to need a pen. And I'll tell you when we get to do that. But I thought I'd start with a question this morning. When was the last time you spent some time intentionally thinking about discipleship and specifically your own discipleship? Today we're jumping into about a 2-month series that's going to look at discipleship and how we understand discipleship here at Southridge. And so you're going to hear a lot about discipleship over the next couple of months, and today is kind of a jumping in point on that. And to be honest, I think when I look at discipleship, and I've been a Christian a long time, I've gone to school, I've been to seminary, so I've done a lot of reading on discipleship, and I think it comes down to two things. One, the very basic premise of discipleship is actually pretty simple. I mean, we could teach your kids what it means to be a disciple. And yet the trick and the tension is living it out is so difficult. So simple and yet so hard. And I don't know about you, but I find oftentimes I understand what discipleship is. And if you don't understand what discipleship is, good news for you. We're going to cover that this morning in a very simple verse we're going to look at. And I'm going to explain what discipleship is. But here's the thing. I find that no matter how intentional I want to be, I get distracted so easily. It's like I have spiritual ADHD. Anyone want to admit their same issues? Right? Like you're going, okay, Sunday here, worshiping God. Okay, I know what I'm going to do this week. Sunday afternoon. What was I supposed to do this week, God? What did I commit to do? It's like we just get distracted. There's so many things that fight for our attention that no matter how hard we want to be intentional about discipleship, no matter how well we want to follow Jesus, we soon find ourselves off on a very different path. And so this morning I want to just take a simple verse to read, not a simple verse to live out. But if you've ever had the question, what is discipleship? What did Jesus mean when he asked us to be disciples? And you're stumped. Like, say you had a friend come up, hey, so I know you're a Christian, so what does it mean to be a disciple? How would you answer that question? I want to give you a very simple answer, and it comes from Jesus himself. So if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn into Luke chapter 9. And I want to read one verse to start with, and we'll get into some other verses as well, but one verse to start with. Verse 23 of Luke chapter 9, and it says this, then he, and that's Jesus, said to them all, his disciples and a crowd, he said, whoever wants to be my disciple, okay, ready? So whoever wants to be my disciple, he's telling us what it takes to be his disciples, must, one, deny themselves, two, take up their cross daily, and three, follow me. I think all of us, by the end of this service, if I were to ask you when you leave, I asked you the question, what does it take to be a disciple? What does it mean to be a disciple? You'll be able to tell me. It's three things, really simple. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Jesus. That's what Jesus says. That's all it takes to be a disciple. I can give you a test at the end, right? And you're all going to pass. 1, 2, and 3. But what does it mean? And how do we live this out? So simple, we could teach your kids upstairs what it means to be a disciple, and you could quiz them on the way home, and they'd have the answer, 1, 2, 3, and you know, what does it mean? First thing we need to understand that when Jesus says these three things, they're commands, they're imperatives, they mean he's serious about what he's saying here. To be my disciple, you must first deny yourself. What does that mean? I've done enough reading on this stuff that sometimes I come across people when they talk about what it means to deny themselves, it's like you just do without. It's almost like you're in the dessert line at the buffet and you have a plate and you're looking and you take one and that's all you take and you go sit down and you're so proud of yourself that you didn't take number two or three or four. And you say to your spouse or your kids, I denied myself an extra dessert. Aren't I a good person? Is that really what Jesus is talking about? When he calls us to deny ourselves, just do without a few more calories. That's all I'm asking. Be a good disciple. One dessert or one drink or maybe one shirt instead of two. You know, do without. Is that really what he's saying here? Is that what it's a materialistic thing. It's a consumer thing. Just hold back, you know? Or maybe if you're a little more spiritual, you get to the point where you go, okay, I think God really wants me to give some money to this, but I'm tight budget-wise, so I just won't do that spa day, or I'll maybe do without Starbucks for a few days. I'll deny myself so I can be super spiritual. Is that what he's saying? I think in part it is a little bit. When Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, part of what he's telling us is that we need to be aware of the temptations that would cause us to sin, the temptations that would cause us to stumble, and deny ourselves from falling into those temptations. But it is so much more than that. I think at the very base level, the very foundational level, when Jesus says and calls us to deny ourselves, what he's talking about is our will. And what he's saying is this. In everyday normal life, we go about our lives doing whatever we want to do because we are in control of ourselves. And when Jesus stands up and says, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, what he's saying is this. If you want to follow me, be my disciple, you've got to get to the place where you give up determining your own will for your life and you take on God's will for your life. You must get to the place where you deny wanting your rights, deny wanting what you want as a plan, and say, okay, I'm coming to you, Jesus, and I'm willing to give it all up to be you, to follow you, to be your disciple. Denying yourself is about giving up your will and submitting to God's will for your life. When it comes to discipleship, when Jesus is talking about discipleship, what he's talking about is a reorientation of your entire life. He's saying you need to align your life with what God's will for your life is. Here's one observation I have about denying ourselves. If you struggle with humility, being humble, I know you will struggle with denying yourself. You see, at its core, humility is about the ability to think of others first, to put others first. And if you aren't humble or have the ability to show humility, you'll never get to the place where you'll put God's will first in your life because your will always be fighting to be first in your life. There's an old saying, maybe you've heard it, there's two kinds of people in this world. There's one kind that comes into the room and says, here I am. And then there's the other kind of people who come into the room and say, hey, there you are. If we struggle with humility, we always want the attention or the focus on us. But humility is about other people. And I don't think you can get to the place where you will deny yourself until you get to the place where you are able to humble yourself and submit yourself to God. And that means putting someone else first, God, not you. And I believe God understood his creation. And it's interesting that if you look in the Old Testament, and if you have your NIV Bibles or you have YouVersion and you do a search for the word deny, in the Old Testament, in the NIV translation, you will find that it is tied with the Sabbath in a few spots. Numbers, Leviticus, a few locations. If you looked it up, you'll see that when Moses is talking and giving instruction to the Israelites about the Sabbath, he's telling God, speaking through him, about how do you practice the Sabbath. The Sabbath was that time every 7 days where God instituted the Sabbath so that the Israelites would, what? Rest, right? They would rest. Not only would they rest, but they would actually turn their attention towards God. And in these verses, it says, you will practice the Sabbath and you will need to deny yourself and make sure you don't work. And so Moses ties denying ourselves with stopping to work so that we can put our attention on God. And I think it's getting to something that we struggle with. We are so driven to accomplish, we are so driven to do our things that even today we have a hard time with Sabbath. And at the very root of Sabbath is denying yourself. Stop working. Don't worry about making money. Don't worry about getting things accomplished. Leave it in God's hands. God will provide the other 6 days of the week. So deny yourself. Stop that drive to take care of everything yourself. And this whole aspect of denying yourself actually, in part, is rooted, I think, in the Sabbath and how God set that up. And he knew we would struggle with it. And yet that's the first thing Jesus tells us to do when we are to be his disciples, is first we have to deny ourselves. We have to put God first ahead of us. Here's the thing. You can't take hold of God's will for your life and still hold on to your will for your life. You can't do both. And Jesus is pointing this out. And he says, if you want to be my disciple, you have to make a decision, a choice. You have to put God first. You have to put his will for your life first. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on and he adds a second component. Not only do you have to deny yourself, but you have to take up your cross and you have to do it, what? Daily, right? When people read this section of verses, I think, it's very natural to think this way, that when we talk about what does it mean to take up your cross? What is your cross? Most people, I think, look at that and they just start taking an inventory of their life. And they look at, okay, I got this problem in my life. I got this burden. I've got my kids and their problems, and I've got to deal with them every day of my life. So I got to take them on and just bear it. And sometimes we read that verse and we think, okay, Jesus is just asking us to live life by grinning and bearing it. Okay, I pick up everything, put it on my shoulder, and away we go. And on some level, there is some truth to that. That God wants us to face every day and deal with the things that that trouble us, that cause us problems, the brokenness in our life. And when you have things that are going on in your life, they are first and foremost in your mind. And I just want to thank everyone. I've been sharing some of the health things I've been going through. I know many of you have been praying for me, and I just want to thank you for that and just give you a little update. This past week, I got a call from my doctor and my oncologist, and they both told me the same thing, that the sample that they took of the biopsy came back as negative for cancer. So great thing for, right? Now, they still don't know why I have swelling in my neck or why I have this lump, so I still have more things to do. I'm going to see a specialist hopefully in the next week or two. But that part of the journey, you know, it's a big relief. I don't have to take up the big cancer burden on my shoulders. But is that really what Jesus is saying here? What does he mean when he says, take up your cross daily? What gets lost, I think, sometimes when we read this verse is the impact it would have had on the disciples listening to Jesus use this illustration. So try and put yourselves in the disciples' place. Jesus is saying, deny yourself and then take up your cross daily. When they heard what Jesus said, this is what they would have pictured in their mind. They would have pictured someone with the crossbeam of a cross on their shoulders. And it was a common enough sight for them to have seen that when someone was walking down the road with a crossbeam on their shoulders, they would have been surrounded by soldiers, and they would have been going where? One place to die. They would have been on their way to get crucified. So when Jesus uses the illustration of pick up your cross daily, the image that he's leaving with them is that you pick this up and it's a one-way trip. And there's one certain end and there's no other way. There is one path you're walking and it ends here with death. That's the image that they have in their minds. Not about, you know, my kid is sick or I have this. There, once you picked up that crossbeam, Your path was set. There was no turning back, and there was only one outcome. And so when Jesus says, deny yourself, and then he follows it up by picking up your cross daily, what he's saying is that when you make the decision to have Jesus in your life, and you make the decision to follow him, it is serious. It changes everything. When he says, pick up your cross, take it up daily, he's saying, look, every day you get up, you have to recommit your life. You have to think it through. You have to make the decision that says, okay, Jesus, I'm yours. And that means this day that I'm going to live is yours. And the money I'm going to make is yours. And the time I'm going to spend is yours. Everything I am, everything I do is yours. That is the image that Jesus is telling us we need to have when it means if you want to be my disciple, you pick up that crossbeam daily. Daily. It's an entirely different way of living to be Jesus' disciple. But our culture, what does our culture push us to do? Our culture tells us that you just work hard, you make as much money as you can so that you can what? Have as much security as you can grab and as much comfort as you can grab. And you just do whatever you feel is right. And that will lead to a successful life. And Jesus says, not if you want to be my disciple. You must deny yourself, pick up your cross daily. And if you doubt that Jesus was serious, let me just turn you over to Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. Again, Jesus is talking, and this is what he says. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is what? Not worthy of me. You see, sometimes I think we approach Jesus with the wrong mindset. And the questions we're asking of Jesus is this, I wonder if Jesus is good enough for me. I wonder if Jesus is worthy of me being his follower. I wonder if Jesus knows how good it would be for him to have me as his disciple. And we've got it all wrong. When it comes to Jesus, the question we should be asking ourselves is, am I worthy to be his disciple? Am I worthy to be his disciple? And the answer is no. You and I are not worthy to be his disciple. He doesn't look at us and go, I see just enough in Brent that he, I think, would make a good disciple one day. He looks at me, he looks at you, and he goes, there is nothing worthy in you at all to be a good disciple. And yet, here's the amazing thing about the gospel. Because he loves each and every one of us so much, he looks at us, even in our unworthiness, and says, I still love you, and I'm willing to die for you. And I still want you to be my disciple. That is the message of the gospel. And so when it comes to discipleship, I think we've done a disservice when we start sharing our faith with people who aren't of faith or haven't made the decision to follow Jesus. Sometimes I think we share a very easy Christianity. And we sell them short. And we don't tell them actually what Jesus is calling us to. Because it's simple to understand. But it is so hard to live it out, isn't it? Sometimes I think we come to people and we say, okay, you're living your life. You're a nice person. You seem to have it all together. I mean, like, you'd be an awesome Christian if only you knew Jesus. Like, who's ever had that thought, right? People you know. And so what we do sometimes, I think, is we just say, you know what, you just need a little bit of Jesus in your life. It's like we say, just if you were just sprinkle Jesus on you a little bit, then it would be good. And we don't show them Luke 9:23. We don't say, hey, buddy, hey, honey, you need to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus to be his disciple. We just give them a little sprinkle of Jesus and say, you know what, if you just trust in Jesus, everything in your life will be good, or everything will be better. And we don't give them the right message. So we need to be clear when we're sharing our faith. Both my parents were from an English background, so I grew up in an English home, right? Great home, it was awesome. And then I got out in life and I met Pam, and it got better. And we started dating, and then came that, you know, that kind of threshold thing you have to do when you're dating someone, you have to meet their parents, right? And I thought Pam was normal. And so one day we go up to Houston because her parents live up in Houston. And so it's like for the weekend kind of thing. So I'm immersed in the family. And it's breakfast time. We're sitting there. And Pam's mom comes up to me. And just so you know, they're Dutch. So that's definitely not normal. especially if you're English. And so we're sitting at this table. And I think I got some toast. And Pam's mom comes up to me. And she says, hey, Brent, would you like some chocolate hail? And the thought in my head was, chocolate hail, you mean like frozen chocolate? Because hail, what's hail? That's stuff that falls from the sky, right? Frozen balls of chocolate, that's what was going through my mind. I think she could tell by the look on my face that I had no idea what she was talking about. And so she brought out this box, and then she poured it on my toast, and I went, oh, chocolate sprinkles, of course, right? Chocolate sprinkles, that's what you call chocolate hail? Sometimes we get lost in trying to explain things because we're not communicating. And so oftentimes I notice this when it comes to discipleship. We make things about discipleship that shouldn't be. We make it overly complicated. We confuse people. And here's Jesus telling his disciples it's really simple. It's like chocolate sprinkles. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Three steps. Pretty easy to do. Pretty easy to remember, right? So when you leave this place this morning and someone says, so what does it mean to be a disciple? What are you going to say? Well, Jesus says it means I need to deny myself, turn my life over to him, his will, not mine, pick up my cross daily, pick up the things. And sometimes our cross is our sin. Sometimes our cross is the brokenness that we struggle with. Because this amazing picture emerges in the gospel and in the New Testament that says this, that the things that make us weak, the things that we're embarrassed about, God takes and makes it strength in our lives. And he uses though that weakness, that brokenness in our life, even our sin, to bring him glory, to share his word, and he uses it to strengthen us. But it's still a decision every day to pick up that cross and then follow him. And that's the third one. Jesus says, you must follow me. And if you do any research in terms of how the sentence structure of this verse, that last verb, follow me, is in the present tense, meaning that it is constant, meaning that Jesus expects us to always follow him. It's not just a one-time prayer. It's not a one-time decision. It's not something you just do one day a week. It is every day, all day. When he says, follow me, it is constantly being in obedience in following him. And he's reminding us that discipleship doesn't just happen. It has to be very, very intentional. Why is this important? Why is it important to understand what it means to be a disciple? Let me just read the next two verses after verse 23. Jesus goes on to say this, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? And that's where Jesus comes and he tells us the stakes of what is going on. He says this understanding of what it means to be my disciple is so important that if you miss it, you are going to lose yourself. And the only way to save yourself is to do what I'm telling you to do. To deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me is what Jesus is saying is he's asking for a total claim on your life. A total claim on your life. He's asking for your full allegiance. He's asking for all your time. He's asking for all your possessions. He is asking for everything. Being a disciple is nothing less than giving everything and being all in with Jesus. You see, what he's telling us in these last two verses is this: there is a way to total freedom for your life. Total freedom comes when you give up everything to God. Because once you're in a place to deny yourself and take that cross up daily, give up everything to God, you have nothing else to lose. No one can take anything away from when you have nothing. And so often our struggle in our daily life, in our life right now, is we're trying to be somebody, do something with our life, make something, bring it all in, and we're so worried about adding and holding on to stuff and not losing stuff. That Jesus says, when you're in that mindset, if you continue down that road, you will end up losing your life. But to be my disciple, deny yourself, pick up your cross daily and follow me. Turn everything over to God. When you realize you have nothing, there's nothing to lose, and that's where you find freedom. When you're no longer worried about anything but Jesus, that's where you will find freedom. One of the problems I've observed when people start talking about discipleship and when they start trying to apply discipleship to their life, instead of coming to the place where they're willing to give everything to Jesus, this is what they do. Okay, I'm doing this. Jesus, will you bless it? Jesus, will you help me? In essence, what they're saying to Jesus is this: I am going this way. Jesus, would you follow me, please? And instead of denying ourselves, taking our cross, and following Jesus, we reverse the order and expect Jesus to do what Jesus is asking of us. So the question I really want to ask you this morning is this: are you telling Jesus to follow you? Are you telling Jesus to follow you? You see, at the very base level, as disciples, we are followers of Jesus. It starts with denying our will and taking on God's will for our life. It continues as we daily pick up the things that we have to carry in this life and the things that God asks us to do in this life. And it ends with us constantly following him. And this is where discipleship gets hard, because so often we get stuck on how do we follow Jesus daily. So let me just leave you with two things. First is this: I believe that if you intentionally are trying to live out your life as a disciple, the Holy Spirit will speak to you on a regular basis, letting you know how to follow Jesus. He will point out things in your life when you come to that place and you stop denying yourself and you start, you know, living your life as you want it instead of God. He will remind you and get to the place where he will convict you when you're not picking up your cross daily. And he will try and remind you when you're not following Jesus and you're actually asking Jesus to follow you. You know, those times when you're having spiritual ADHD, when you get distracted, when you get off course, the Holy Spirit will come in and remind you. But I think there's another thing that God has done for us to help us in knowing how to follow Jesus. And you read the New Testament, and you read especially Acts, I think there's a rhythm that the early church got into. And there was five things that they seemed to do on a regular basis that allowed them to become the followers of Jesus that Jesus had called them to be. And it allowed that early church to explode in Jerusalem and through Israel and into the ancient world. And we've talked about this in the fall a couple months ago, but I want to remind us what it is. The rhythm that the early church seemed to get into was this: they would celebrate together. They would celebrate big. They would come together as church, as the church. They would celebrate who God is and was and what he was doing in their life. And then you would find them in small groups, community with a few, where they would have accountability, where they would learn and worship together, even in small groups. And then you would see them, and you see this in Paul, how he constantly reminds us that we need to follow Jesus daily, and there's things that we can do that will help that. And then if you read the New Testament, you'll see that the expectation was that as believers, we would serve one another. There's over 50 one another commands in the New Testament that are commands that imply that we're serving each other. And that's part of being a disciple, part of the rhythm. And then lastly, of course, that as the church, we would get together and engage in a mission that would change this world. And those five rhythms are, I believe, are ways that God has helped us to know how to follow him well. Starts with denying ourselves, starts with picking up our cross, but it always includes following him, a daily action. So here's where you get to do something this morning. In the seat back pocket in front of you, there's one of these. So I'm asking everyone to fill this out this morning. And before we start filling it out, I want to pray for us. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit, if he hasn't been speaking to you already this morning, that he would really speak to you now over the next 5 to 10 minutes. Okay? So pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you made discipleship so easy to understand. But Lord, we also know that it is very difficult to live out. And so Lord, as a church, we are trying to be obedient to you. And so over the next few minutes, I pray that you would speak to everyone here, that your spirit would touch them and speak to them in a way that they would know what you would want for them over the next little while. So Lord, we just invite you to speak to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So if you were here a couple months ago, you know what this is. But on the front page of the rhythm assessment, there's some biographical data. What we're asking you to do is as you fill this out, we're going to ask that you turn this in at the end of the service. And the reason I ask you to do that is I need your help. We have several hundred people here at church today. And there is no way for me to know everyone where you're at spiritually and where you're struggling or where you're doing strong. But by helping us fill this out and turning it in, you can at least help me know kind of where our church is at. And so don't put your name on it. If you really want to mess with someone, put someone else's name on it, maybe like your spouse's name, and then drop it on in the basket. We won't look at names. So don't. If a name's on there, we don't care. We're just looking at the number. So if you can fill out the biographical stuff, and then if you open it up, there's 20 questions. The first question is really simple. In the last month, how many times did you attend church? It's 1, 2, 3, or 4. That's all it is, right? So fill that in. And then the next 19 questions, 2 to 20, you need the grid up at the top to help you answer the question. So I'll give you example number 2. I have a group of believing friends or a friend who is holding me accountable to something right now. So think about that, and then you go up. 1, is that mostly not true of me? If that is, you fill it in. Or 2, typically not true. Or 3, slightly true. Or 4, very true. You just answer however it is. And then you go through the top 20, all the rest of the 20. And so there's one further step I need you to do. That piece of paper you had to lift up so you didn't sit on it. On the reverse side of it, there's a wheel. And on that wheel, there's A, B, C, or D. And that corresponds to the A, B, C, or D in the rhythm assessment. If you take your number that was for each of those boxes and you put it on the wheel and then shade up to whatever it is, you should have something that looks like this, maybe different lengths under different numbers. Okay? Everyone understand that? And so what we're trying to do is to help you realize, take an inventory of your life over the last little bit, to go, how are you doing in each of the five rhythms that God has given us so that we can follow him well? And for everyone, it'll look a little different probably because everyone has different things going on in their life. And what we're suggesting is that in your prayer to God, when you ask him, okay, God, how can I be more intentional in following you? You look at this, and it might be the shortest bar where you go, okay, God is telling me I need to be more intentional for this person. It would be engaging in mission together. I need to get more involved in what the church is doing in reaching our community and the world. And maybe that's your next step. But it may not be your shortest one. Maybe God, for whatever reason, is speaking to you this morning that you just need to be more intentional for following him or be more intentional in coming to church on Sunday. So celebrate big is something. We're just asking you to try and pray and ask God, where should you be more intentional specifically for the next couple months? What is God going to say to you? And we've developed some next steps. They're at the bottom of the page on your handout, but we also have a page on our website. So if you lose your page, you can go to our website. It's at southridgefellowship.ca/your next step. And it'll just have something like that. And all those tabs that are there are live links to take you somewhere. So if following Jesus daily was your thing that Jesus is saying to you, okay, you really need to focus on that rhythm in your discipleship, there's two options. Maybe you just haven't read your Bible in a long time. And that reading plan that we have for you on there is a 7-day reading plan. So it's not like a lifelong commitment. Just commit to reading the Bible for 7 days. It'll give you what to read. Just click on it, follow it. Or maybe for some of you, it's actually to get baptized. One of the biggest things with baptism is really, it's that first step when you receive, after receiving Christ, it's really about denying yourself. That's what baptism is, because baptism is hard. It's hard to stand up in front of people. It's hard to tell people and be a public witness and say, okay, I'm giving my entire life to Jesus and I'm showing it to everyone by getting baptized. And so for some of you, maybe Jesus is saying, look, you need to do this, because until you do this, I don't think you're really at the place where you're actually denying yourself and picking up your cross. So whatever it is, I just ask and encourage you and challenge you to take that next step. Be intentional about following Jesus. But here's the thing. You could have all 16s. Like, you could have like 4s on all the way down your list. You could be what would appear to all of us as a super Christian. Not that having all 4s is a super Christian, but we think that way, don't we? And yet you could still miss out and not be a disciple of Jesus. You could check off a lot of things and get busy in your life with a lot of things, but you can't be a disciple of Jesus until you take that first step and deny yourself. You can look good on the outside, but if your heart is not given to Jesus and you haven't committed to give yourself to him and deny yourself, no matter what you do, no matter all the good works, you can delude yourself into thinking that you're a great disciple. But if you miss the denying yourself, you miss it all. It starts with denying yourself and then picking up your cross daily and committing to follow Jesus all the time. There's too much at stake, people. We can't be passive about this. We can't. Let me pray and call the worship team up. Dear Heavenly Father, you clearly lay out in very simple steps of what it means to be your disciple. A child can understand this, Lord. And yet it is so hard. Lord, we struggle, if we're honest, to deny ourselves. We so want to go our own way. We so want to do our own thing. We so want to think our own truth. It is so hard to get to the place where we in humility submit our life to you. And yet that's what you call us to do. So I pray, Lord, for those who are struggling right now to give everything over to you. I pray that you've been speaking to them, and I pray that they can come to the place where they will just finally deny themselves and turn their entire life over to you. I pray for those this morning who struggle to get up every day and pick up their cross and do the things that you call them to do, and constantly and courageously and intentionally turn over their entire day to you. I pray for all of us, Lord. I know that we all suffer from spiritual ADHD. We get so distracted. We go our own way. And Lord, I just pray that as a church, as we look at this over the next couple months, that we will get into such a natural rhythm of following you that it will just become part of us. And the things we find hard to do today will become easy in 2 months. They will become second nature to us. And Lord, I know that when we get to that place, we will be a different church, because we will be different people. But we will be your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.